that you would be supplying, your financial background, your group, and so forth and so on. All right. As much information that can come in at first go-around, I think it probably serves you better over the whole process to have as much of that information complete and ready to go, as opposed to having just a basic skeleton type of application and then everything dribbling in. I think that you probably would find that over the years, the stations that are serious about, I mean, the applicants that are serious about challenging an existing station, probably find it easier to make their claim if they have got all their act together and are looking like they're ready for battle when the thing starts, as opposed to somebody who just has the basic minimum and is constantly updating and amending. Because just recalling the record on several of these that we have turned down, several challenges that we've said, hey, you know, not going to make it. It's been a situation where the existing licensee has raised the issue that this programming is updated, that amendment, he's amended his ascertainment, and so forth and so on, trying to weaken the position. Mm-hmm. That he really wasn't ready to go when he did it. He just wanted to jump on me, and now he's having to come in and make his last gasp efforts, and he really doesn't have any intention to do this. I think your posture is much better if you can submit to the commission mm-hmm. as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, of course, any licensee files his renewal application, and if he doesn't have everything finished, he might also amend, and you might raise the same arguments.
Right.
So it can work both ways.
When has a deadline been set on divestiture of newspaper ownership of broadcast properties?
Well, are you familiar with Docket 18110?
Vaguely.
Okay, well, in Docket 18110, we set out 16 stations, newspaper station ownership combinations that did have to divest by a certain period of time. The others, we have, as far as our rules are concerned, we've said that's okay, that's enough. Well, now, the Court of Appeals have said we're all wet, and that we didn't go far enough, et cetera, and this thing's eventually going to be resolved by the Supreme Court. I don't think there's any question about that. In the meanwhile, we proceed with the, it's my understanding, we're proceeding with the basis that we only set out 16, and the other stations continue to go as, you know, as they did before.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can see from just reading the, keeping up with the different sales, that most newspapers are unloading their properties.
Mm-hmm.
They're swapping with other newspaper owners.
Right.
And one, you know, somebody in Portland buys one in Milwaukee, and the newspaper in Milwaukee buys one in, you know, this type of thing.
Sure.
So they may take care of the problem before it's ever resolved by the Supreme Court. That could very
well
be. Do
you know off the top of your head if Dallas was one of those that had 16?
No. What we did in the Docket 18110 proceeding was to try to find those communities where the newspaper owned the only local television signal, or the only local radio signal. And we took a look at the impact of the concentration not only of economics, but also the diversity of voices.
So it was primarily small markets.
Small markets.
Not major markets.
Small to medium markets. No, in no way the top 50 markets, because you're dealing in Dallas with, for example, you have the Fort Worth paper, the Morning News, Times Herald, and you've got enough diversity of voices, both television and newspaper wise, that we made the argument that, you know, it wasn't so egregious that we had to split it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The same would be true in a lot of other major communities. Now there are some instances in which there are a morning and afternoon paper are owned separately, but they're published jointly by a corporation that's formed for the purpose of selling advertising and producing newspapers. You have that in St. Louis, you have that in Salt Lake City, and we had challenges on that, and we resolved it by saying that, you know, that this does not appear to be a anti-competitive situation. But other than that, you're right. We're talking about small to medium markets, and the Court of Appeals is saying, hey, we don't think you guys went far enough. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think their position would be that newspapers should not own television.
Mm-hmm. The community ascertainments, do they vary from city to city, or are they basically the same throughout?
19. Mm-hmm. Do you have the application form?
I don't. Before me, I have one, but I don't.
You have one, okay. Yes. I was going to say that you are aware that you've got to file with us a complete, you know, subject to what I just discussed, as far as having as complete as you can, a complete application form, which would include an ascertainment. Now, the ascertainment that you would be conducting for purposes of a new application, a new station, is different than the renewal.
Mm-hmm.
We have two renewal primers. We have the renewal primer of 1971, and we have the renewal primer of, we have the primer of 1971, and the renewal primer of 1976. You do not follow the renewal primer of 1976. You follow the old primer of 1971 because, in effect, you are filing for a new station.
Mm-hmm.
When you file a mutually exclusive application, you're well aware that somebody already has that particular frequency. But you, in effect, are saying, this is new, brand new station, this is where I place my transmitter, this is where, you know, this is the kind of programming I would do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And that being the case, you follow the old primer. So the checklist, the community leader checklist that you would see, for example, in our renewal application form, 303R, is not what you follow.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to follow the old primer, which sets out an ascertainment of community leaders, an ascertainment of the general public. And I'm not saying that you could not follow the 19 or 20 elements in that community leader checklist, and I'll be on safe grounds, because we try to, in compiling that list, we try to cover those elements of the community that we have seen time in and time again.
Right.
And you just would have to look through that and say, basically, this is who I was going after anyway, but we don't want as such a community leader checklist. We wanted a breakdown of who you talk to, organizations that they represent, and then a compilation of the needs that they disclosed. And we want a general public survey. You don't have to give us names and addresses of everybody you talk to, but the manner in which you did ascertain the general public, and put together then a narrative and evaluation of what you found and how you're going to try to program to respond to those needs. It's a different process than our new renewal ascertainment. So I would suggest that you take a look at that renewal primer.
Yes.
That we put out in 1971. That's the same primer, by the way, that all the radio and television stations were following until we came out with the renewal primer
of 76.
Of 76, right.
Very good, sir. You've been very helpful. I appreciate it so much.
Okay.